Hi, this is Chuck Joyner, and this is Mac Voices number 512, the talk of the global Macintosh community. Thanks for listening. I wasn't able to attend the recent Portable Media Expo in Ontario, California, or Podcast Expo as it became commonly known. So when Andrew Darlow, the editorial director of Digital Imaging Techniques, mentioned to me that he was going, I of course immediately asked him if he would provide a summary of the show for Mac Voices. Because, as you will hear, Andrew had other stops on his trip, we are a little later than planned in bringing you this report, but it still serves as a nice wrap-up to what has been described as the single largest gathering of podcasters to date. I'd like to thank Andrew for taking the time to put together this attendee view summary of the Portable Media Expo, and hope you enjoy hearing about the show. As always, your feedback is welcome to chuck@macvoices.com or call our talkback line at 206-350-1371. And now, let's hear from Andrew.
Thank you, Chuck, for that very kind introduction. I'm very excited to have this opportunity to contribute to Mac Voices. I'm a very long-time Mac user. In 1984, I got my first 128K Macintosh. That was the first Macintosh to come out. And that started a very long love affair that has grown to most recently include a shiny new 17-inch PowerBook, which I absolutely love and which I'm using right now to record this. The screen alone is just magnificent, and being a photographer, it's just a joy to use it. And the Tiger OS has been purring along quite happily. So it's been about a week since the Portable Media Expo and Podcasting Conference took place in Ontario, California, and I can honestly say it was an amazing show. I've been a huge fan of podcasting since I first started using a 60 gigabyte iPod about 7 months ago, and I currently keep up with about 60 podcasts, including Mac Voices and Mac Notables, of course. It might sound odd that someone from a print magazine like me would be so interested in podcasting, but I found that it's been an incredible way to get information out to a huge audience on a whole lot of topics, including digital photography, digital printing, new hardware and software, and all kinds of other tools that creative professionals use. Your show also has covered quite a bit in that realm. Podcasts are also a great place to learn about gadgets, which a lot of people love, I know I do, like new cell phones, iPods, plasma TVs, Palm handhelds, you know, other important things like that. And what was most exciting about the conference, in my opinion, was the energy that was there in the air. And I found people to be really, really friendly and accessible, and regardless of how well-known they are in the world of entertainment or podcasting. And I'd like to review the show in chronological order, pretty much, just to help people get a better sense of what I experienced from beginning to end. And I'll mention some links to more information along the way, but maybe we can put something in Mac Voices show notes or website or something else. That would be great. First, I'd like to do a little name dropping, because podcasting is, after all, often just mainly about the people who produce so much of the content that's out there. So here's a small sampling. First, I met many of the hosts listed in my podcast folders in iTunes, including Michael Gokhagen from Real Reviews Radio and the Disney Resort podcast, Mark and Bill from the Wizards of Technology, Todd Cochran from Geek News Central and Podcaster News, Franklin McMahon from Media Artist Secrets, Rob from Podcast 411, Leo Laporte from This Week in Tech, The Laporte Report, and Security Now, among other things, Dave Hamilton from The Mac Observer and the Mac Geek Gab podcast, Christopher Breen from Playlist Magazine and Macworld Magazine, Scott Shepard, Laura Burstein, Ken Ray and Sam Levin from Inside Mac Radio, Jeremy Horowitz from iLounge.com and iLounge.com podcast, Tim and Emil Berquin from the Podcast Brothers, and Tim is also the founder and the chief organizer of the expo. Also, Phil Tyrone from Make Magazine, and of course, the Podfather himself, Adam Curry, who does Podfinder and the Daily Source Code. And I met Adam at the concert the night before the expo, which was organized by CC Chapman, featuring Chance and Brother Love, who both just did a great job. And I also spoke with Adam at the hotel pool where a lot of the Pod Show folks were staying, and it was a really nice, beautiful day, and everyone was just hanging out and being interviewed, and it was just a really nice place to be. Some new podcasts I'm listening to after attending and meeting some of the podcasters at the show are CC Chapman's excellent show called Accident Hash, and two other music shows, one called Band Tracks, and Michael Butler's Rock and Roll Geek Show. Also, I've been watching the Mary and Carla show, which is a very entertaining video cast. I met Carla there. And Digital Media Tips and Tricks, another video cast. That's also an audio cast, and things related to digital media. And the gentleman who runs it, Ben, he did some video at the Podcast Academy, so if you want to see some of the video from the Podcast Academy, which I also attended the day before the show opened, take a look at Digital Media Tips and Tricks. Oh, and David Lawrence from the David Lawrence Show, and also Net Music Countdown. So I'm approaching now 70 podcasts, so that should be fun to listen to and to watch. That Podcast Academy that I just mentioned was a full-day event, and it was just filled with content about what gear to buy, how to monetize your podcast, and I met a lot of podcasters there, a lot of people who were just really interested in starting their own podcast or just moving it to another level, and I really got a really good sense of what's going on in the world of podcasting. On Friday, that was the first day of the show, which opened with two excellent keynote addresses. One by Jason Calacanis from Weblogs Inc. and Leo Laporte. They were both really well presented and quite entertaining, actually. And you can listen to both of them at the Portable Media Expo's website. And next, about the seminars. There were seminars in just about every topic related to audio, podcasting, a little bit about video, but there was a strong emphasis on audio production, marketing, and advertising. And there were four separate one-hour session blocks every day and three to four sessions in each block. So that means there were about 24 or so sessions total. It was a lot of content. And some of the seminars I dropped in were e-commerce tools for selling audio and video, which was a panel discussion about subscription versus single payment setups for podcasts, and how companies of all sizes are using technology to fund their podcasts. And then another one called Advertising Business Models for Portable Content and Podcasting, which was all about advertising in podcasts, viral marketing was discussed, and a lot of other viewpoints from a range of people involved in the industry. Another was Expanding the iPod from Tech Toy to Icon, Music to Multimedia, which was moderated by Jeremy Horowitz and had three representatives from different companies who make all kinds of iPod accessories. And now let's take a walk into the trade show. That was unbelievable. I was very, very impressed because I love all things related to iPods, little cases and accessories and things like that. So there was a really good mix of iPod and MP3 player accessory companies, and also companies like Arcos and a company that makes this tiny little MP3 player that is so small, it's unbelievable. And it's like a little square, it comes in different sizes. It's called the DAH 1500i Cube MP3 player, Mobi Blue. is the company. And so that was all really, really interesting. Also, Otter Products was there. They make watertight OtterBox plastic cases, which are quite well known. And then Griffin was there. They introduced a few new products, new LCD iTrip and iTrip, an FM tuner for listening to FM radios on different iPods, Ultimate Ears, showcase a number of really great sounding earphones, which I tested. They call them in-ear monitors. And one guy who was there at the Ultimate Ears booth pulled out his that were custom made for his ears, and I said, "Oh, those are the ones that are about $500, right?" He said, "No, closer to $1,000. But they also have more affordable ones as well. And then there was Cable Yo-Yo, who makes a very stylish square-shaped cable winder and holder. Power Support, another company who makes accessories. They have a line of really beautiful, unique kimono cases and a clear protective film. It's actually a set that they sell that can cover both an iPod screen plus the click wheel and the center button. And they also have some cool stuff for Macintosh laptops. iLounge, they had an amazing booth there. It was very cool. It had like a living room environment with a bunch of iPod accessories. And they also had a little museum of the iPod with a history dating back to 2001. With the first generation iPod all the way to the present. And they were all lined up and held in place using the PED stands from thoughtout.biz. And that company also had a booth showcasing a lot of their stands and related products. Then there were companies who create different tools and hosting services for podcasters, like Liberated Syndication, who has a very affordable service for podcasters. And then Audible.com, who introduced their new Audible Wordcast for making podcasts trackable and able to be distributed in like a pay-per-download format. Audio Acrobat was another company who was showing a new podcasting tool in addition to their web-based Flash Audio products. And then there were also a number of companies focused primarily on helping podcasters to monetize their content, which is the big word, such as Kiptronic and Podvertiser. And as you can probably guess, I was very, very busy for those 3 days. After the show, I went to Los Angeles and saw the King Tut exhibit at the LA County Museum of Art, which was absolutely spectacular. And even after 3,500 years, the pieces were so pristine and detailed that you would think that they were just made. So it's, that show is not to be missed if you are someone who appreciates history or just beautiful art. That show is also moving to Fort Lauderdale, Florida soon, so I highly recommend it to those who can attend. I think I've said enough for now. Thank you very much, Chuck, for the opportunity to share my experiences, and I hope to visit Mac Voices again soon. Bye-bye.